Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When a 16-13 squeaker over the Jaguars probably wouldn't have resulted in Hall & Oates. That time is past.
It is not that time.
This is not that time, Danny. Dustin Hopkins, good from 46. Dustin Hopkins, good from 33. And with the game on the line, at the horn, Dustin Hopkins, true from 36. The Washington Redskins, for the first time in over a month, won a football game. The drought is over, people. It rained yesterday.
A drive where multiple plays occurred, forward progress was had, an NFL touchdown right in your mouthpiece, Jacksonville. Josh Johnson, Jeremy Sprinkle. Hi, Jeremy. Good to see you. Thanks for swinging by the old season. A couple of catches for old Jay Sprink.
Heard a lot about you.
Yeah, a lot about you.
First three catches of the year. One for a six-yard touchdown. By the way, 16 plays for the Redskins on a 40-yard drive that resulted in a field goal.
I mean, my God.
Now, they got 20 yards via penalties to get into field goal range on that drive, but it was their longest in terms of plays drive of the season that resulted in points. 16 plays, and it was just a bunch of Josh Johnson scrambles.
Matriculating down the football
field. Adrian Peterson, 2.5-yard carries. Where shall we start? Well, let's say it again. The Redskins won. The Redskins scored more points than their opponent, and they remain in playoff contention. They are a half game back in the wild card of Minnesota. They are one game back in the NFC East of Dallas. That's important. That's relevant. I'll say this. I feel really good for some individual people. I will start with Josh Johnson, who
you have to, right?
Has never won a game in the NFL as a starting quarterback. No team that he led into a game had ever won before yesterday. He was not great by any means, completed 16 of 25 passes for a 151 and a touchdown, rushed for 49 yards. I don't care if he was great. He didn't need to be. He made a couple of plays with his feet. He got some fortuitous bounces. His longest throw of the day was a terrible pass that Jamison Crowder batted to himself over top of a defender for the play of the day. He fumbled a ball that got recovered by one of his offensive linemen, but I loved watching his joy and exuberance after the win. It's kind of like one of us getting to quarterback a team. His career was over. He had moved on. Mentally, he thought he would never get to play in the NFL again, let alone start a game. And yesterday, a team that he played for and led for four quarters beat an NFL opponent. Barely, but an NFL opponent.
That Crowder play is the reason they won the game.
Easily. Third and 15, 8 minutes to go, and a 33-yard gain. They didn't have another gain longer than 17 in the game, by the way. On just a pass where he reaches back, bats a ball up in the air, plays popcorn, and catches it for a first down.
So they obviously that's for the offensive output. They win this game because they held Jacksonville to 20 passing yards.
They did it.
I can't remember that. 20 net passing yards? An NFL team in this era, everyone should be fired in Jacksonville.
I've never seen it.
Six sacks.
Should one single person on that staff keep their job?
No. If your key card works today, it's a mistake.
How bad is that team?
Turn in your Microsoft Surface.
Do you realize
embarrassment?
Cody Kessler got sacked 6 times
and
completed 9 passes.
Mm-hmm.
He threw for 57. Now, Danny mentioned the net yards because you take away for sacks and some of those things. So that as a team, they had 20 passing yards. Kessler himself had less than 60 on 17 attempts in the game.
So that's why they won. The Redskins won because of that. The defense shoved it on a terrible offense. Objectively, a terrible offense. Here's the thing. You still give them credit for doing that. It's not that easy to put up 6 sacks. It's not that easy to hold a team to 20 net passing yards. They did that very well. Jacksonville makes it easier on you, but they found a way to do it. So credit there. happy for a lot of those guys. Happy for guys like Mason Foster, who everybody hates now. They decided he's the worst dude ever, let alone any of his good works, let alone that he's a team captain, media good guy award, great, you know, parent, act in the community, et cetera.
You know who I feel good for, too? Kerrigan.
Happy for Ryan Kerrigan?
Ryan Kerrigan had 2 sacks yesterday. He's back to 11, okay? So he's got 11 sacks and now 4 times in his career in 3 straight seasons. All he is very consistent. You hear from time to time where occasionally he gets into the crosshairs where people just get mad at him like, well, he's just not great. I apologize that he's really good and there's no one else on the team that is.
Yeah.
But he went out and he got 2 more sacks. So now he's second all time on sacks. It's Dexter Manley at 91.
Past Charles Manhunger.
Kerrigan at 82.5. That's the list of all-time sacks for the Redskins. Obviously, they kept the stat much later in, decades into the team's existence. But pretty amazing. I feel good for him, too.
Yeah, happy for Jonathan Allen. Happy for Daron Payne. Happy for DJ Swearinger, who will join us at 11. Those guys, with everything swirling around, played well. That's good, and I'm happy about that. But that Crowder play is the difference in the game when it comes down to it. Because you look at that drive. It was a sack on first down. There was a forced fumble right there that was recovered by Morgan Moses. Again, couldn't have been more fortunate that it bounced that way. Good job, Morgan Moses. I believe it was a Maurice Harris drop on 2nd and 15, if memory serves.
Correct. They basically ran a route to get 7 to try to make it 3rd and manageable. He dropped the football.
And I'd like to announce that I am now good on Maurice Harris. The 3rd down play is the 33-yard of the Jamison Crowder that everyone went, I didn't think that was going to happen. You run that same play, that result does not occur any out of 100 times, but the 101st time, it worked for 33 yards.
You're not going to hear me knock Josh Johnson today. I am elated for the dude. That was his worst pass of the game in terms of accuracy and giving a receiver no chance. It was just not a good ball. Jamison Crowder made an outrageous play, and you're allowed to do that. It's funny, after the game, Jay Gruden had this quote where he goes, yeah, sometimes that happens. So sometimes receivers just make crazy plays. Not around here, they don't. We haven't seen many of those this year.
Sometimes you get lucky as bleep.
Yeah. Sometimes the deck of cards falls your way, and then it ends up in your hands. Some botched cliche by Jay Gruden. The point is, Jamison Crowder did something preposterous, and it worked. So he ended up 3 catches for 13 yards otherwise with maybe the loudest 4-for-46 ever because he converted a 3rd and 1. He converted a 3rd and 5. He converted a 3rd and 15. He's going to be gone next year, and I really still believe if he's healthy, he's an outstanding player. I believe he'll go somewhere and be really, really good. How about Peterson, by the way?
Yeah.
So Adrian Peterson rushes for 51 total in the game. The final drive, the Redskins get the ball back on a Fabian Moreau interception. Heck of a play by him on a deflection. Defense stands tall because Jacksonville people forget it was 13-13, and they're now moving into field goal range.
That's right, with a chance to win.
Game's definitely going to be over if they get any points, and Cody Kessler's, and Fabian Moreau intercepts a pass. The Redskins get the ball back, and you're going, is there any way they can get into field goal range?
Because it's just enough time that it's not 2-minute drill stuff. If there's 2-minute drill and there's hurry up, expecting anything there would be naive, but it was just enough time that they could run it.
They took over with 2:31 left and a couple of timeouts. Adrian Peterson rushed for 30 of his 51 yards on that drive.
That's right.
He ended up with 19 carries, which ties for the most that he's had in any game since before Halloween, by the way. But it's because on that last drive, he got the ball 5 times for 30-plus yards. Before that, it was like 14 for 30 on the day. It was 2 yards a carry. He ended up still less than 3 a pop, but he ripped off 15. He ripped off 7. Next thing you know, Dustin Hopkins is warming up that right leg.
4-yard run, 7-yard pass completion, Adrian Peterson, and then a 15-yarder. Then Jacksonville's taking their timeouts. That changed it right there. You're right. That's a good point. So good for those guys. Good for everybody else. My son asked me right as soon as the game was over, Dad, are you happy the Redskins won? And I ended up sitting there for like 25 minutes trying to explain to him the big picture and how it may not be great for them, but I'm happy for individuals. His eyes glazed over after about 10 seconds, so I don't know if he understood what I was trying to say. I don't know if I understand what I'm trying to say. I know that it's not, let's not throw a parade here. Let's not do anything crazy. You can be happy for individuals, which I think I am. I think you are. And still big picture go, yeah, they need to fire Bruce Allen. There's still nothing is solved here. But it's still good for the moment, yes?
Yeah, my answer would be more simple if my son asked me that. I'd say absolutely when the Redskins win, Daddy's happy. I get what you're saying. You can't fix the world's problems with any one victory or one loss. And I just have to trust that the right things are going to take place at the end of the season. I'll tell you who this win was huge for, though. Probably big for Bruce Allen in some way. Because if you had another catastrophe like the Giants game, you're not surviving that. It was massive for Jay Gruden. It really was. And probably a lot of members of his staff. But Jay Gruden needed a game like this. I think it was revealing and telling that nobody checked out. I read that Pernell McPhee, of all people, Pernell McPhee, did you even know he was still on the team, called a players-only meeting. Are you allowed to call a players-only meeting when you're that anonymous?
If you're barely a player.
I couldn't believe it when I read that yesterday. But if it has to be him, then God bless him. Apparently no one else is calling players-only meetings. The Redskins are in the playoff hunt still. We're not going to talk much about that today. I'm going to be very honest with you. We shouldn't. Jacksonville is dreadful. The Redskins have been installed as 10-point underdogs in Tennessee. However, we will just work with what we've got, which is a chance finally to talk about a win and a really neat feel-good story with Josh Johnson and some of the performances yesterday. So, first time, long time. Let's open up the show with game balls and gassers. Game balls go to the best Redskins performances. Gassers go to the worst. The Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are yours. Do not embarrass us, Redskins fans. The team won yesterday. Now it's your turn to step up to the plate. They have built it. You've got to come. 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny on, get this, people. Get this. A victory Monday.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
First and 17.
Ready? It's up.
There's a block by Peterson. Gibson is in pursuit, as are others. And he runs out of bounds. Boy, it's not for lack of effort, is it, Rich? I mean, he's out there diving all over the joint and picks up 15 on first and 17. And he is out to about the 23.
Yeah, you know, when you have a quarterback issue, so to speak, and just got here, you have to play great team football. You know, other than the two plays at the end of half on special teams, our defense kept us in it and just did enough for us to stay close. And then Josh made enough plays and people around him made enough plays to get the victory. So total team effort, but hats off to the defense. They played hard today.
Josh Johnson scrambling around Kevin Harlan on the call yesterday and then Jay Gruden postgame. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. How were we blessed enough during this holiday season to get Kevin Harlan on the call of that drivel yesterday?
Here's why the math works out. When you have two Saturday games, Sunday night game, a Monday game, there's only so many games left. CBS needs to send somebody somewhere, and you get Kevin Harlan.
Wasn't Harlan better than that game?
Yes. Kevin Harlan is better than that game. That's usually on a normal Sunday. That's your like seventh seeded broadcast team that's also doing like, I don't know, the an Iowa Barnstormers kind of like indoor football game at some point. But that group right there, that's way better than we deserve. That was awesome.
First time in 5 weeks, game balls and gassers. Game balls to the best, gassers to the worst from the Redskins win. Let's start it off. Josh Johnson starting a game for the first time in over 2,000 days. The team won with you at the controls. You were okay. Threw for a buck 50 and a touchdown, rushed for 49. Here's the big key. You didn't turn the football over.
Right.
There's a little luck in that because you fumbled and your offensive lineman dove on it before a defender could. But you didn't turn it over. First time a Redskins quarterback has played a four-quarter game without a turnover, going back to when they beat the Bucs. 5 games ago. Not coincidentally, the last time they won.
How about it?
That was critical.
Good to see you, 91. Attaboy Ryan Kerrigan. 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 4 fumbles, 6 tackles. You were a man possessed, and it was awesome. Sometimes Ryan Kerrigan gets, I think you touched on this in the first segment, Grant, gets a bad rap, or not a bad rap, but sometimes fans are critical. Like, well, these aren't important sacks, or they kind of pick and choose. Here's the deal. This is a consistent, solid performer. This is not the problem. 91 is not your problem. This is not your weakness. Because I'm sorry he's not, I don't know, DeMarcus Lawrence, or he's not going to end up with 20 sacks at any point in his career. You complain about that. I understand that. This is what he is. What he is very consistent, and he's very good. He helps.
If you're putting together a list of problems, rank him 99th out of 100.
All of the problems that exist, that ain't one.
Jonathan Allen, I'm happy you are a Washington Redskins. I'm glad this team drafted you in the first round. 5 tackles, 2 sacks, minus 15 yards yesterday. 3 tackles for loss, the team had 5. 2 quarterback hits, and you blew up more plays in the running game that you didn't get on the stat sheet for than anybody else. I thought he was tremendous. 6 sacks on the season.
I thought Zach Brown played well. Remember Zach Brown? Everyone talking about Zach Brown wants to leave, and he's mad because he got sick, and the coaches benched him when they're looking at other guys. Zach Brown on a blitz destroyed some poor SOB running back, all that knocked him right back into Cody Kessler, who, by the way, is remarkably terrible. I apologize to the Kessler family. You're going to have a bad holiday season. Your brother, son, uncle, whoever he is to you, he stinks. He's a terrible quarterback, but whatever. Zach Brown, I thought, played really well yesterday. Had himself a handful of tackles, including a quarterback sack, and a hit as well, knocking people around. Good for you, Zach Brown.
I'm going to go rapid fire here for some individual plays. So the first one is Fabian Moreau. Interception sets up what was eventually the game-winning drive. He saved the game. Had a pass defended as well. Fabian Moreau's played well the last couple of weeks. Jamison Crowder's 33-yard catch, batting the ball to himself over top of a defender on a 3rd and 15. That's the drive. Down 13-6, the Redskins go on to score a touchdown with a 6-yard touchdown pass to Jeremy Sprinkle to tie the game at 13. They hadn't scored a touchdown all day. They wouldn't score another one. If not for that play by Jamison Crowder, they never score a touchdown. They lose the football game. That play almost single-handedly gave them a chance yesterday.
Jay Gruden. I still happen to think they should move on from Jay Gruden after the season. But this is his Seattle game. Remember last year? Everyone remembers the Seattle game. They don't remember losing by 40 points to Dallas or to the Chargers or whatever. They remember that Seattle effort. This is that version of that, where the Wolves are at the gate, all the crap that's surrounding them, nothing but dramatic, starting with Mason Foster, the team bungling of that, and everyone wanting Bruce Allen out, and you know the linebackers' Instagram accounts, and Zach Brown saying what he says, and this team can't get right. They're on their 4th quarterback, their millionth guard. It's not a Luke Belanco getting in fights with people. And they somehow found a way to pull out a gross, ugly, disgusting win on the road with a smart game plan, by the way. That's the only way to do it, the way you did it yesterday. That's the one way you could have won a football game, and you did. Good for you, Jay.
This is not your fault. Luke Belanco, it's not your fault that you're starting on an NFL roster right now. And by the way, this is not personal, so I apologize to Mike and Cheryl Belanco, who might be listening in Centerville right now. He's a local guy who went to Centerville High School. I'm very happy for Luke Belanco's fortune that he's on an NFL field. I wish it wasn't for the Redskins in games that I need. That's all. Every time something good happened yesterday, either a flag was down because he just committed an infraction, or I had to look and make sure for a while that a flag wasn't down because he had just committed an infraction. Again, nobody's fault. This is where we are. This is how we got here.
This is where we are.
You're now starting as the 4th guard at your position. You once learned basketball from Robert Bodie. That's kind of what I need to know about you as a Washington Redskins guard, right? I mean, I like Bodie as much as anyone, but I need no Redskins guards having been on Bodie's basketball teams in Centerville. It's generally how I'm going to actually text Bodie and ask him for a scouting report on Luke Belanco as a basketball player. And I might be making this up. Thom told me that at one point he played basketball for Bodie. I don't know if that's true or not.
He played for Bodie?
Like
I thought
Bodie,
it was like a rec league situation.
No, I think
Bodie's coaching?
I think Bodie instructed him in basketball at some point. Because Bodie's like 31 or something, right?
Okay.
And Luke Belanco turned 27 recently. So I think it was like a mentor situation. I could be wrong.
Good heavens.
The point of all of this is gasser for Luke Belanco.
Okay. Be careful if you're around Byron Marshall. He might just tackle you. If you are around and Byron Marshall's around, he might just hit you. He's not sure who has the football. Byron Marshall just looking for somebody to hit on special teams. Don't approach Byron Marshall. You may be struck. Hey, B. Marsh. I went with that. B. Marsh, like we're casual. The guy with the ball, right? The guy who had the ball. Try to get that guy. Because the other guy doesn't help. You knocked somebody out of bounds, and it was, oh, what a big hit, as the dude with the football ran right past you. Try to hit the guy with the ball. Weird philosophy of mine.
By the way, Can we tackle Cody Kessler, please? Anybody? Cody Kessler led the Jaguars in rushing yesterday. He ended up running for 68 yards, believe it or not. There was one run, though, where I'll have to ask DJ Swearinger about this when he's on the show at 11. He'll join us in 35 minutes. DJ Swearinger legit stood flat-footed with a quarterback running at him and just threw a punch at the football. Like, broke down like he's in a bar fight and just threw a left cross right at the ball rather than trying to tackle Cody Kessler. No idea what that was about. On the same play, Clinton Dix kind of just shoved him. Just shoved him forward a couple more yards, and then Josh Norman, shockingly, came running from behind to tackle him on the play. It's a quarterback. You have a chance to hit this person. You rarely get to in the secondary. Somebody try to end his day. I don't want to sound like Greg Williams here, doling out money for kill shots. Someone do what you can to destroy this person.
I think everybody's
dumpy, terrible, I know, this goof, unathletic quarterback.
I think everyone's so concerned about that penalty because if a guy starts to slide even after you launch yourself at him, you know what I mean? It's like, huh, how could you have done that? You're such a dirty player. It's the thing that I can't stand, that these protected fawns wandering through the secondary. You shouldn't be allowed to do that, is my point. So, like, you could sort of fake like you're going down and nobody can touch you, and the next thing you know, you get an extra 9 yards from wiggling when you're just a dumpy zilch. Look like a fan escaped onto the field. I hate that.
So it runs so much deeper. I just texted Bodie. He did coach him in middle school basketball, apparently. Oh, SYA Hoops. His dad is still in my friends and family fantasy football league.
Man.
So this got awkward.
Oh, man.
My dad worked with his dad for a number of years. Sorry to the Bowoncos. Luke had a great game.
Your son's in the NFL. It's cool.
I thought Luke played wonderful. I don't know what Danny was saying earlier. I thought he had a lovely game.
I didn't say anything.
800. No, you gave him a gasser.
I did not.
What happened 2 minutes ago, Danny?
I did not give Luke Bowonko a gasser. I gave it to Byron Marshall.
Did he not get a gasser on this
show?
Not
for me.
Not for me either.
Not from this guy.
Then Sean gave him a gasser.
Sean.
We're Grant and Danny. Your calls are next. Game balls to the best, gassers to the worst. 800-636-1067.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Redskins won yesterday. They're a half game back of Minnesota. They are one game back of Dallas in the NFC playoff chase. We'll discuss a little bit later in the show whether or not that's even relevant or something worth talking about. But right now, we're just making sense of what we saw. Adrian Peterson, 19 for 51, 2.7 a pop. Not ideal, but huge on the final drive. Josh Johnson, Alex Smith-esque, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe 20 less yards or so than Smith would have thrown for in a lot of the games that they were winning early this year. But this was the formula from September, October. 16 of 25, 151 and 1, no interceptions, a 93 rating.
Just with no outside weaponry. No involvement of outside receivers because they're not any good.
Tressway pins a ball down at the 1, pins 3 more inside the 20.
Dude, Tressway.
Do you know that he has 39 punts down inside the 20-yard line without a single touchback?
There were two of those punts yesterday. I go, oh, there's the first touchback, and somehow they checked up. He's doing like Steve Mizorak masses on the ball, late-night ESPN2 pool from the 90s. It's ridiculous how
Six
good he
sacks,
is.
Second time this season for the defense.
Mm.
Kerrigan had two. Jonathan Allen had two. Second time this season with six, that means they've done that for the first time since the year 2000. Jay's in D.C. on the Fan. Game ball, gasser, what
hey,
do you
Jay.
Got?
Yeah, I wish they would have kept Bibbs. I feel like he was really good on special teams. That's my only guesser. But Fabian Moreau, he's the fastest guy on the team, technically. He never shows that. But the last two games, he's been playing really, really well, really up on him. And Sean Deion Hamilton, I think we got a future with him. If he gets a little stronger and he can stay healthy, I think we're going to have a good inside linebacker for the future.
Question with him, you're right, it's just going to be health. He was always very good at Alabama, one of the better linebackers in the country. He could never stay on the field. That's why he went in the late rounds. Let's go back to Bibbs for a second. Released this weekend.
This running back situation is so fascinating to me.
Strange, because they have had an extra roster spot and they've been keeping five for most of the year. It didn't seem like they had to get rid of any of them. They opted to get rid of Bibbs for whatever reason. This is annoying to me, though, not just because of the weird roster machinations and the fact that I think they could have kept him, but actually because this is a sign to me of the keeping guys on your roster because you want to not prove that you were wrong, if this makes sense.
Yes.
Samaje Perine, better player than Capri Bibbs? I don't know. I'm asking.
I say no, but
I like Samaje Perine fine. I think he will be an NFL running back for a while. He's less what works in the league than Capri Bibbs is. Bibbs has done more this season without question. If you're going to cut a guy, Perine is inactive almost every single week. Now, you could tell me, well, Bibbs is redundant because Byron Marshall does the same things as him and has now replaced him coming back to health. And I guess that's the argument. But let's get rid of the worst football player at the position when we're cutting a guy. That's what the winning teams do.
Well, so beyond that, just quickly, they kept Byron Marshall in one of their injured reserve spots this year.
Yeah.
And they kept five running backs. They went into a game with 52 players on their active roster, and the 53rd, I guess, was Colt McCoy or something. And then they lose Simi Cobbs to the New Orleans Saints. Now, is that the end of the world? Of course not. The franchise will go on. We'll be okay. No one's saying that Cobbs is a world beater. But you keep these extra running backs around for some bizarre reason while your receivers are A, dropping like flies, B, terrible. What better time than to say, let's see if a kid can do it rather than, I don't know, journeyman Michael Floyd as your season is falling apart. Just very strange to me how they've handled the running back spot, put a premium on these guys, and then kept Perine inactive each week. They had times where they had five running backs on the roster, and you know they're keeping one or two of these guys down while they have positions all over the place dropping like flies. Very strange to me.
Yeah, the Simi Cobbs thing I think super annoying. Not that he's going to be
a world beater.
It's not worth really spending a whole lot of time on. But just so we're all on the same page, a guy with some upside who you've been developing and investing in left to go to the New Orleans Saints so that you could continue to roster, as you put it, Michael Floyd. Or you've had guys like Brian Quick on your active roster this year. And for what? I mean, is Cobbs completely incapable of playing special teams? Maybe. But I didn't get that either. The report, we should point out, did say that they tried to pull him up to the active roster when they had the option to do so when New Orleans claimed him. And he correctly made the decision. Yeah. I'll go try to win a Super Bowl with Drew Brees, thanks.
And it's not even just choosing New Orleans over Washington. If it's a winning team, losing team, of course I would do that if I'm just playing Madden. He's been here, knows the terms, knows the system, knows the personnel, knows everything, might have had a chance to play. He chose a middle finger to that over going to learn something brand new on the fly with 3 weeks left in the season.
But to me, that was the easiest decision he's ever made. Not to mention, you're at a job where you're not getting the opportunities that you feel like you deserve. You're watching every week a guy like Michael Floyd run routes poorly and not get open and not make catches.
It's like it happens with people in real jobs where your own job doesn't appreciate you.
Yeah, give me a raise.
Until somebody else gives you an 100%. Offer, now you care.
Yeah, can't give you a raise. Other job offers you a ton more money. Hey, we found some money for you. I mean, that's stuff that people remember. Let's go to Seth in Richmond on Grant and Danny. What's up,
my best friend Seth.
Good morning, gentlemen, and hail to the Redskins to you on this happy victory Monday.
Yes, sir.
All right, so my game ball definitely has to go to the defensive tandem of Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne. Those two are incredible, fantastic pickups. I don't know where this defense would be without those individuals just eating up offensive linemen and plugging holes. That being said, my gasser has to go to Morgan Moses. I understand all the injuries that we've had on this offensive line, but to have Morgan Moses being the individual who is the most penalized offensive lineman in the league is unacceptable. So he gets my gas.
Seth, don't hang up yet. I'm going to ask you a question so that you can answer it because I want to voice check on this for you, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I hear Danny McBride from Seth in Richmond. I want you to tell me if you hear Danny McBride in his voice. I would ask for your rebuttal to this. Morgan Moses is playing very hurt. Does that matter to you at all? And also, he did recover the fumble yesterday that saved the day when Josh Johnson put the ball on the carpet.
That all both of those being true, I understand that. I just can't believe that we have individuals, you know, in the league, as you mentioned before, that are, you know, you're happy that they're in the league. However, that they're playing for our team. just the amount of penalties that man is taking back to back sometimes. It's just unbelievable. I do understand he's playing hurt. He is actually one of my favorite players, but
no, you're right though. Too many penalties, not having a good season.
it wouldn't line up on like a security camera for like a voice match technology.
Did you hear it at all?
I caught it. There's a little in the cadence, a little bit of the affect. You got some McBride in there. To Moses, he's obviously playing hurt, and some of those penalties on him are bogus. So let's say he's second most in the league. You know what I mean? But man, oh man, what happened? Used to be like a bright young asset, and I love Morgan Moses. Couldn't be a cooler dude. Couldn't be a nicer guy. I pull for that guy. But man, oh man, has it been a struggle for him?
It's been bad.
You need him to step up as you lose every other person that's played guard for you.
He got a big extension, and it just hasn't been a good year. There's no other way to put it. Now, I think part of the reason is he's been playing hurt. But by the way, 16 penalties against him this year. No other player on the team has more than Trent Williams' 9. He's missed some time, obviously. Fabian Moreau, 8. Josh Norman and Ty Nsekhe, both 7, less to play time. But Morgan Moses has accounted for 108 penalty yards, and it would be 18 if 2 haven't been declined against him. 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny. We're getting your game balls. Best of the Redskins win in Jacksonville. Gassers to the worst. We should also talk about just how bad the Jaguars are in a minute as well. Right here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The best and the worst news ever is that there is some type of not even a cookie swap, although it's partially that.
We're calling it that because it's our branding.
It's basically a baking contest happening via Entercom here today at like 4:30. And our boss, CK, is one of the judges. Not only are we not judges, we're not even really allowed to participate because we can't eat any baked goods.
Yeah.
But it's one of the coolest ideas ever, and I want to shout out Carly for doing it because I think it's awesome.
A, it's a great idea. B, CK knows. He's really good at trolling us.
Yeah.
On this front. Like, because his office is right next to our studio, so when he has a delicious lunch, because no matter what he does, he like looks and weighs the same, and it's not fair because life isn't fair. So he's just like, hey, I got a pizza today. Just eating pizza, and I'm just eating the opposite of pizza. Whatever the opposite of pizza is, that's what I'm doing usually. Like some sort of grazing sheep out on the plane. But now, he's got this baked good explosion. He has to judge which baked good is the best. Mm. That's my dream job, is to be able to decide, hey, I prefer this baked good over that baked good.
This one's good, this one's great.
I'm an authority on baked good, and that's my hope that one day I could be the person that decides which baked good is better.
It's maddening to me. It's a vexing realization that CK, who has never finished a French fry order from any establishment, whether that be McDonald's or the place he goes to locally here, Shake Shack, or anywhere else.
Quote, it's too much, end quote.
He says, quote, 6 or 7 fries is a serving. That's what they said in Stanford. That's what I believe.
Some like Harvard study said that. Do it again, Harvard. Run it again.
Yeah, not a good enough study. But that's CK's study. He believes that study. He gets to judge, and he said, I'm going to eat it all. No, you're not.
Do you know he's never, and this is to everyone else out there, just in terms of judgment, obviously, like, you hope he has some good judgment because it involves letting us be on the air. But the other part of judgment, he's never supersized a meal.
A value meal at McDonald's, when you could supersize it, he's never gotten it.
You can
but
get
it's not,
more,
not
and he says no.
He's never ordered a large meal.
Never ordered a large.
Forget supersize. Supersize was something I always did, but you could say that that's an irresponsible thing to do. He's never once, when he ordered a meal, said, please give me a large. And if they say, would you like that large? He'll say, no, medium's fine. And then he still won't finish the fries. And then he'll call his wife and ask if she wants to split it with him.
Split it.
Get out of here with that.
I don't split anything. Danny doesn't share food.
DJ Swearinger at 11. That's 10 minutes away. Clinton Portis at 11:30 on a victory Monday. We'll go around the division in just a moment. Let's wrap up game balls and gassers. Tim's in College Park. What's up, Tim?
Tim at.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, man.
Good.
My game ball goes to Jay Gruden. When, you know, with 18 players on IR, you know, 4 different starting quarterbacks, for him to have the wherewithal to start Josh Johnson, you know, definitely shows him, you know, shows a lot about him and who he is as a coach. And then my gasser goes to Ha Ha Clinton Dix. he just looked awkward out there. You know, that one run that Fournette had on the end of the round where he cut back, you know, HaHa made that tackle on his back. And I just think he's going to be a liability moving forward. So hopefully we can get Monte back in there. But HaHa just doesn't look comfortable out there.
He does not.
He's just not very good. And I thought he was better. He was better at one point, right? I wasn't imagining it.
Green Bay was correct when they decided to get a fourth-round pick for him.
That fourth-round pick is going to sting when Green Bay makes it this coming season. Listen, at the time, I was in favor of the trade. I go, here are the boxes that are being checked. A guy that was annoyed and frustrated with his current franchise, right, because he didn't get his fifth-year option, he's disenchanted, he's ticked off, great change of scenery candidate, basically playing for a contract, watch this guy ball out and prove everyone wrong.
Nope. You'll end up losing the trade when he walks this offseason, but I still won't say it was a bad decision. I don't think it taking a chance on a former first-rounder and a Pro Bowl-level player at one point in time to see if it works in your system, no problem with that at a fourth-round rate. Because fourth-round players most of the time don't pan out. Samaje Perine is kind of in that ilk of what you're getting in the fourth round. He's deactivated every single week. But let's go around the NFC East very quickly. The Cowboys got shut out by the Colts 23-0. Indianapolis led 10-0 at the half, poured it on with 13 more in the second half. Dak Prescott still looking for points. He threw for 206 yards, an interception, and had a quarterback rating of 64 in the game. Ezekiel Elliott was held in check. And we've said this a bunch this season. When you slow down Elliott, who was held under 5 yards per carry, you can beat the Cowboys. Amari Cooper, by the way, who's been awesome since they brought him over, targeted 11 times, just 4 catches for 32 yards. This is the blueprint for beating Dallas. One game better than the Redskins at 8-6 after their 23-0 embarrassing road loss.
I thought the Colts could absolutely win that game, right? I didn't think it'd be like that. The way Dallas was rolling, as good as Dallas' defense has been, as good as anybody in the sport the last month plus Sean Lee returning. I know they didn't want to bench Van Der Esch for it, but still, that usually gives them a boost. Really, to me, Elliott still got some numbers. He didn't get anything like truly huge or explosive. If you take away, to me, Cooper, that's been the difference. If you take away any sort of, you know, 3rd-and-7 ability to get those first downs, that's when they look like they did this past weekend. What a game from the Colts, who all of a sudden are very, very relevant in that AFC South.
Eagles 7-7 get a win last night over the Rams when they were double-digit point underdogs on the road. And a la last year's script, Nick Foles taking over in Los Angeles led them to victory off the bench. Now, Foles was not particularly great. He threw an interception, didn't throw a touchdown, had a quarterback rating in the 80s. But Philadelphia was opportunistic. Alshon Jeffrey went for a 160 on 8 catches, including a 50-yard grab. Golden Tate was heavily involved, 5 catches for 43 yards. The Eagles led by 17 going into the fourth quarter. The Rams mounted a huge comeback. If there was another 15 seconds left in the game, they probably win the thing in overtime. There weren't, and they laid an egg in the third quarter. Got outscored 17-0, and it cost them back-to-back losses for the Rams, who have gone from 11-1 to 11-3.
Three times, Los Angeles Rams players failed to get out of bounds. You mentioned those 18 seconds. They cost themselves that much and more. They should have won this game, or at least tied it and gone into overtime. Gerald Everett twice, once on a hurry-up drive with about 5 minutes left, opted to stay in bounds and fall down weirdly. Todd Gurley didn't go out of bounds, and then Everett again late in the game. Just unforgivable-type clock management mistakes. Not on the coach, to me. That's players just doing the wrong thing.
Remember when the Giants scored 40 on the Redskins, including 34 at the half?
So I guess they averaged 20 a game now?
They didn't score yesterday. Like the Cowboys, they didn't muster a point. Their opponent, the Tennessee Titans, who will welcome Washington to town in 5 days on Saturday. Short week to prepare for a Titans team that is one of the best in football defensively all of a sudden. And Derrick Henry's become a machine. I don't know how the Redskins are going to slow down that Balrog. 33 carries, 170 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Didn't have a run longer than 22. It was just a bunch of 7s, 9s, and 11s in there.
So he had gone the entire season without, I think, getting 60 yards in a game. The last 2 weeks, he's run for about 400 yards combined. He's rolling right now.
Marcus Mariota continues to be a guy who is completely limited in the passing game, but it has not hurt them. Do you know how many yards he threw for yesterday?
I don't.
88.
Oh.
In the 2018 National Football League.
It's very Kessler-esque, if I can say that.
70.4 quarterback rating. 12 of 20, averaged 4 yards an attempt, 88 yards.
Yuck.
Disgusting. But they won by 17 points. Their defense just suffocated the Giants. Saquon Barkley held to 31 yards. He had a .170 against the Redskins at halftime.
That's what it's supposed to look like, by the way, when the Giants don't have Odell Beckham.
Yes, it is.
That's their offense. Never forget that.
They must have been so confident, feeling so good about themselves going in offensively. And then the Titans said, guys, this is big boy stuff.
They're adults here. You don't get to do that.
Speaking of the Redskins defense that finally stepped up yesterday, DJ Swearinger's on the show next. Clinton Portis at 11:30. Sandwiched in between at 11:18, we'll read an Instagram post from Alex Smith's wife. First time the family has spoken publicly about all of the issues he's having with his surgery. But Swearinger, live in moments on Grant and Danny. Make sure you're listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.